Welcome to the Manor.
Welcome back to the Twin Terrors Macaw Manor Mead, Metal, and Mayhem. I am James.
I'm Jody.
I couldn't think of anything cool enough to say. And welcome back to another D&D Dungeons & Dragons 50th Anniversary Spectacular Special Hullabaloo Extravaganza. I just used that term at the end of the other episode and it stuck in my head.
Yeah, I noticed.
And every time I say hullabaloo, all I think of is Baloo the Bear.
Baloo the Bear. Baloo. Baloo's cool.
For the bear necessities. The simple white box of D&D. Yeah, but now we're going to be talking 1975. After last episode being 1974, and we already mentioned that was the 50th anniversary, but we're going to go up through 76.
Okay.
Because things happen in 77.
Yes, yes, they do.
Evil things.
At that now.
So, 1975. I have a little note here to make sure to describe what a supplement is.
Uh-huh.
So in the white box, we had our three main booklets of, you know, the men and the monsters and the treasure and the dungeon delving and things.
Yeah.
And they thought, we could make money by making supplements, which are just additional books that did not come in the box set.
Yeah.
And in 1975, they would sell two of these, Greyhawk first, and then Blackmore. Mentioned last time that Blackmore Greyhawk was Gary Gygax's own campaign, but this supplement actually does not go into his campaign. But they did add Thieves and Paladins.
Uh-huh.
Thieves, Bagginses. And they added some new treasure and monsters, such as the Beholder.
Yeah.
Which I want to mention that Jim Bell's artwork with the Beholder, or also known as the Spear of Doom, was swiped from Dax the Damned by Esteban Morotto from the 1974 Eerie Tales.
Okay.
And Bell also would help with the artwork for TSR's periodical Strategic
What was it?
Strategic Review.
Okay.
Strategery. Yeah, the sucky part is I had a cough and I was trying to finish the word so I could mute when I coughed. I actually muted myself on the last syllable of review and then I unmuted and coughed.
That's why I asked you what you had said.
Yeah, that's kind of why. That's when I realized, oh. Hey baby, how you doing?
I have a present for you.
Oh, you got a present for me? What the hell is this?
Well, open it and you'll find out.
I have to open something real quick.
Hi, Jody.
Hi. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Give me a new wallet. I'm still opening something. I'm having issues.
Christ, I guess.
Oh, nice. A little.
It's a passport. A
fancy passport holder to put my normal passport into.
Isn't that cool?
Maybe, thanks.
I think that for our travels.
Yes. Mwah. Awesome. Okay.
It's been a rough night. Allie's it's hitting her hard now.
Jody knows.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned it to him earlier.
Yeah. We're going to go. I talked to Rhonda. We're going to go see her on Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to hang out with you here in a little bit?
Nope. I'm going to put on my nightgown. I'm going to go upstairs. The world can fuck off. And that's what I'm doing.
Still love me though, right?
Well, yeah.
She's shaking her head no right now. Yes, my child. In nomine Seamus, my magic power. Always make people laugh by being a dumbass. Okay. Anyway, not sure how this is going to work when I edit it. So, strategery. That was it. In the Blackmore supplement, which of course, Blackmore being Arneson's little part of the Great Kingdom and his realm, also really didn't go much into his realm. That's very irritating when you read the background of how they made their own campaigns and then they come up with these supplements and they're like, well, this has nothing to fucking do with your supplement, you dicks.
Yeah. Now, my understanding is that they did publish later a book on the Blackmoor setting.
Yeah, quite a bit later.
And it was something like, and you can take this out if you want, but the Blackmoor area had a civilization with advanced technology that had destroyed itself.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this in our campaigns.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember you talking about, because I didn't know that. But yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Okay.
I mean, you can go into some more. They may, they, you know.
That's, I've not really sat down. I've read about it, and I've not really sat down and looked at what it says. So yeah, that's all I can remember about it.
All right. But yeah, Blackmoor supplement doesn't go into that, but it does add monks and assassins.
Okay.
And has underwater adventures, adds that, so you can now dungeon delve or wilderness explore or go swimming in the underwater and visit the sea elves and stuff. And the dreaded aquatic Tarrasque.
Yes.
Which I just made up. But I think it needs to be a thing now. Well, I guess the underwater Tarrasque would be called Godzilla.
There you go. So I'm reading here that the Greyhawk supplement also removed, it says it removed the game's dependency on chainmail, on the chainmail rules, so that people who didn't do war games would be able to grasp the concept better.
Yeah, it added a bit. Yeah. Okay. Should I go on?
Yes.
Okay. Didn't know if you had, just to finish up the little Blackmoor thing, it technically had the first TSR-produced module called Temple of the Frog, even though it wasn't a module off by itself, but it did have an actual adventure, a module, for the DM just to read through and run characters through. In 1975, and so remember, Gary at the time had just, he'd recently lost his job at the insurance place and was a cobbler, making, you know, doing shoe things for a bit of money. And in 1975, Gary went full-time in the TSR with an approximate annual salary of $4,000, which in October 2023 would have been $26,410, which doesn't sound like much to begin with, and you have to keep in mind he had five kids.
Wow. Yeah.
So things could be tight, but they were working out. I'm not going to get into that. You can listen to interviews with Ernie, his son, and talking about how he had to put cardboard in his shoes sometimes because they could only get shoes once a year. And if you got holes in your shoes and, you know, you had Lake Geneva winters with the snow.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So, yeah, can't say times are tough, but it sounded like they were maybe a little tough. But I'm glad Gary persevered for all of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Gary had known Don K, his partner, I wrote forever, but, you know, for years and decades, and trusted him as a partner, unlike Arneson, who could be difficult, and he really wasn't a go-getter leader, but would also then chafe when given orders. I don't know if I really should even do anything, but don't tell me what to do. However, here's a little bit of sad bit. Don Kay would pass away at the end of January 1975.
I was going to say, I didn't think he... I was thinking something like that. Yeah, that's what I remembered.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because, I mean, well, sucks for his wife too, because he put in $1,000 of his insurance money, and then, you know, not even a year and a half later, from the towards the end of 1973 to the very beginning of 1975.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks. But at the time when that happened, Gary had to take a larger role in the managerial aspect, and he is thinking of taking on additional investors, but only those within the wargaming community, and insisted TSR would never take outside money. And as far as Don Kay, evidently had a very physically demanding job. He smoked a lot, drank a lot, was having a hard time at home, according to Gary's ex-wife, which, well, now ex-wife, at the time his wife. So he would have He would have known what was going on. And it was just kind of a bummer because Don, who knew Gary, could push him a little bit and keep him honest and then keep him cooled off when Gary would get hot-headed, but he would pass away. So there's nobody there to even Gary out.
Yeah. So it looks like here he had a heart attack. He was only 36.
Yeah, they were still young men at the time.
Yeah, he was actually scheduled for heart surgery in January of 1975. So he died just a little bit before his surgery was scheduled.
Yep. Rather sucks.
You're not getting into the business stuff really right now, are you?
Not much. I was going to say Don Kay did have better business sense.
Uh-huh.
And wasn't worried about the immediate worries of profit cloud the future business, which is something that didn't really necessarily happen after he passed away. So that was kind of a bummer. And I was going to talk about how they reorganized.
They because when Kay died, his wife got his share of TSR, and she didn't really want anything to do with it. It says that after Don died, his wife dumped all the tactical studies rules materials off on Gygax's front porch.
Yep, box it up and give it to him.
Yeah. I'll let you go on.
Just after Kay's death, Gary and Brian Bloom reordered. Mm-hmm. Sorry, had a pretzel in my throat. Gary and Brian reorganized, made a corporation called TSR Hobbies, and uh-huh. Gary owned 150 shares, and Brian owned 100 shares. Got to flip my page here. And Dungeons & Dragons were still owned by TSR, though, and they had to buy out Don's widow, Donna, in order to get D&D over to TSR Hobbies. She just wanted the money. Like Jody said, wanted nothing to do with it, so...
Right.
They got Brian's father, Melvin, to invest $20,000 for 200 shares. And Brian purchased an additional 140. So he now had 240 compared to Melvin's 200 compared to Gary's 150. This infusion allowed them to make sure they had all the ownership. And they got some office space and retail space called the Dungeon Hobby Shop. I may have a couple other small things about the business, but did you have anything else on that?
Do you have anything about the Boot Hill game?
No, like I said, I think in the last episode, I wasn't going to focus on anything but D&D, but you can.
Well, I just want to mention this was a Western-themed role-playing game designed by Gary Gygax, Brian Bloom, and Don Kay. It came out in 1975. It was published in memory of Kay, and let's see, 1983, an issue of Dragon Magazine, Gygax highlighted Kay's character Merland, which I think you mentioned in the last one.
Yep, sure did.
Or not the last episode, but one of the 72 or 73 episode. And the Unearthed Arcana book, which doesn't come out for another few years, he paid further tribute to Kay by using Merlin's name for two spells that were published in that book.
Yeah, they were close. That's really cool that Gary did that.
Yeah.
Are you ready for me to move on? Or
I'm ready for you to move on.
All right. And evidently, when they were doing this, they're also setting up their contracts and everything. And at the time, the royalties they did have, because I talked about royalties with Gary and Dave and Dave McGarry.
Yeah.
Previous episode. They were kind of insanely generous because they didn't really think it was going to be a company at the time. They're just selling games and they just want a bit of money. So when they're going through and trying to buy out the stock from Don's widow, Donna, they realized that even though they'd sold out the printing, they still didn't have much money for the company.
Right.
So part of the agreement was to go down to 5%, which kind of took away a lot from Dave and Gary. But Gary was kind of giving it back to himself because he owned part of the company.
Okay, yeah.
Which, yeah, we'll talk about the issues of Dave Arneson and Gary Gygax and ownership here in a little while. But then 1975, Brian Bloom, started full-time also and opened the hobby shop Wing.
Wing, okay.
So, you know, they had the Dungeon Hobby Shop. And in 1975, it was going to be the first Gen Con sponsored by the company TSR rather than the gaming group that we had, the Lake Geneva Tactical Studies group we talked about a couple episodes ago of D&D. And so Avalon Hill went from promoting Gen Con to having their own convention, Origins, a month earlier that summer.
Oh, okay. That's where Origins comes from.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And actually, Origins started to do better than Gen Con for a while, and they flipped some years later. Like, not many, many years later, but a while.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to get into that, too, because there was some infighting and some dick moves on both sides, and I was trying to avoid that. But if you have stuff, I'm good.
No. They... Was it Avalon Hill that TSR eventually bought, or was that SPI? It was one of the war gaming companies.
Pretty sure that was SPI from what I remember in my reading, but I didn't take those notes, so I'm not sure.
Okay. I saw that when I was looking up the war gaming stuff, and I think you're right. I think it's SPI.
They did, Origins, allow TSR to come and demo Dungeons & Dragons. And, of course, the popularity is one of the reasons why there were issues later on.
Yeah.
But this was the first place, the first time that the Tomb of Horrors was used when they had a tournament of 8 teams of 15 players per team.
And you need about that many to finish that module.
I'm not sure 15 people could survive that.
Yeah.
Oh, look. I drew a demon face. Let's see what happens when I put my hand in there. But the artwork for the tomb was done by TSR's newest artist, Tracy Lesch, L-E-S-C-H. I'm assuming it's Lesch. Could be Lesch. But the game tournament showcased the artwork. They actually have these big sections up with artwork to give the players a real feel for what their characters were seeing.
Cool.
Very nice.
Yes.
But going back to Gen Con, or, well, going back, I guess Gen Con was a month later. Just wanted to kind of mention that TSR... and their very first sponsor, Gen Con, already started lying about figures by Gary because he oversold how many people actually came to the convention. And players were making their own D&D. They were making D&D their own game and doing their own little things. And people at the convention associated with TSR, including Gary, would get pissed off and come over and sometimes take things away, or like if they made copies of the game without paying the $10, they would confiscate those.
I
kind of
see
see
that.
Both sides. But anyway, to move on from that, before I go into dickish moves, this is where the term role-playing game or RPG came into existence, as other people and other companies had to come up with a non litigation causing term. So it wasn't just people at conventions, other people were putting companies together. I actually don't know when crap, I just blanked on the name, the Trolls.
Tunnels and Trolls.
Thanks, Tunnels and Trolls.
75. Yeah,
okay.
It's 1975 by Flying Buffalo.
So there we go. Thanks. So yeah, it came out and they had to come up with different things. They couldn't call themselves like, you know, a Dungeons and Dragons, whatever. So they said, hey, we're an RPG.
Yeah.
And it's also, people started using the term Dungeon Master instead of a referee around this time, although it wouldn't become official for TSR until 1979 with the first Dungeon Master's Guide, which is AD, Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, third of first three books, which starts in 77, which is that little change we've been talking about.
Yes.
But otherwise... Quarterly Review was a periodical published by TSR's magazine. It started in 1975. And in October of 75, they were finally able to hire two non-shareholder employees. And I have a note here that says, I am not going to start getting in every goddamn person's name because, Jesus, it'll take forever. And I'm going to move on, except to mention that there are issues with the contract. That is some more foreshadowing. And by 1975, November, their inventory had been depleted and they were even being sold in the UK by a company called Games Workshop.
Ooh, I know who they are.
Ooh, who are they?
They made the game, the war game, Warhammer. And originally it was Warhammer Fantasy, and then they introduced Warhammer 40K or 40,000, which is a sci-fi.
Yeah, like space orcs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they have gone on to become probably the, yeah, because we mentioned them in the wargaming. They were the first ones to make their own proprietary miniatures for their wargaming rules.
Yeah.
And eventually, in one of these episodes, I want to talk about the miniature a little bit more and using them in the games, not as wargaming, but using them with the role-playing games, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. That'll be one that you'll probably have to take lead on, but I certainly
Okay.
don't care.
Well, it'll be a short segment. I don't want to do a whole episode.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
I don't mind.
Okay.
Actually, I'll have a funny Stranger Things story to tell. But when we do that, whether it's its own or in one of these,
Okay.
hopefully one of us will remember that.
Ah, ha, ha.
Yeah. You probably just tell it now. But no, I'm going to move on and say that Arneson did join the company, and he moved to Lake Geneva in late 1975 because he'd been kind of hesitant about that.
Yeah.
And at this point, I know I've given Gary a bit of flack because I know the future and what his managerial skills can do and everything. But he did do an
He had
excellent
managerial
job of
skills?
whatever he had.
Okay.
Lack of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but at this beginning, he coaxed people. He got the course going. He got TSR off the ground pretty much through just sheer will. And that included getting Arneson and some people to come in. So kudos. I do have an actual note on the first hire because he plays an important role, even if I don't mention much of him later on. But he's got some really cool stories. And that is Tim Kask, who had just graduated with a journalism degree, although he
Okay.
was a bit older when he went to school because he did a tour in Vietnam.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And we're a man, and he's given interviews where he talks about his job in Vietnam, and he would have to go and find like helicopters or things that had been downed and go blow
Yeah.
them up so the enemy couldn't get them. And he talks about, I'm not even in Vietnam now. I've been in the woods the jungles for 4 days, and he finally found it, and all the guys were dead, and he had to blow. I mean, this dude was kind of awesome.
Sounds like it, yeah.
And I won't give more because he's written. I can't remember if he's written books. I have a note here that says maybe I can tease a few things, have people buy their books. And I don't think Tim Kask has written one, but everybody I referenced in the first episode of this arc, you know, go
Yeah.
buy one. And then they've got some really cool stories about Tim Kask.
Cool.
But otherwise, my other note about him, besides him starting in late 75, and it's weird because one note says October, another note says November.
Yeah.
But he was from Carbondale, Illinois, and I only mention that because I've gone rock climbing there at Giant City State Park with various people.
I see Carbondale's not that far from where we grew up.
It's a bit south and west. It's not super close.
Yeah, but I mean it's close enough that the name would come up occasionally on the news or something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. I just remember
Yeah.
the trip down was, I don't know, two to 3 hours away. I can't remember, but the trip down seemed like a long time because I was excited to go climbing. The trip back took
Yeah.
forever because I was fucking exhausted from climbing. But anyway, Kask's first assignment was to work on Arneson's Blackmoor supplement because Arneson's notes were horrible.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Did I already mention it or is it a future note? But anyway, somewhere in there, Gary's wife talked about how she would also help type up some of his notes and he couldn't use grammar, he couldn't punctuate.
Yeah,
Kind of a,
you've mentioned that.
okay. Yeah, so Kask helped with that. He also helped with the strategic review periodical, but was a huge part of starting Dragon magazine in coming up in June 1976.
Yes, it was the successor to the strategic review.
Yeah, no more strategery. Now it's just dragon.
Yeah.
If you want to jump in, go ahead, because I already have jumped in once. And I was going to mention the artwork for the first dragon cover was done by Bill Hannon, who was the junior college art professor of Tim Cass. So Tim got his professor to come in and do a little bit of artwork. I want to mention that Dave Sutherland was the first full-time employee artist who was hired in 75. For example, Attack of the Sturges and an ambush panel. These are pretty famous D&D paintings. One was the ambush panel is one that looks like a lizard man ready to jump out to attack a party from like around the corridor. That was from Strategic Review and was, well, Attack of the Sturges was from Strategic Review and reused later in the 77 Monster Manual. And then the other is from the Greyhawk Supplement. And
Okay.
then the Greyhawk Supplement, also, besides the things mentioned, Tracy Lesh, who already mentioned previously,
Yeah.
drew the first instances of the Mind Flayer and the Roper.
Oh.
Yeah, but not the Ropers from Three's Company. This is a weird cigar-looking Roper thing. Yeah, but in order to grow their business and have a hobby store and write their fanzines, strategic reviews, and everything else, they needed an office space, which is where a house a few blocks from Gary's called the Gray House comes in. 1975, overlapping in the 76, there were nine main people, although there were some other supplementary, but four from St. Paul, Minneapolis, the Twin Cities, the Arneson Group, and four from Lake Geneva, Gary's group, and then one from Carbondale, Tim Kask. Otherwise, I have a little note that says so much to dig into on our, but we're an audio podcast, so you can't see these things. And wanted to mention Sutherland is going to play a huge role with what's going on now, and then the AD&D books in 77 and Tom Wham's whimsical pictures at this time are awesome. And when we get there, I'm looking forward to talking about Errol Otis, who hasn't been hired yet, but he'll become something in 77, 78.
Okay.
That is 1975.
All right.
Woo, and I was going to look and see, can I fit in 76? But no, that's about the same amount of time. And I think we have two more episodes from my end. Three if we add some of your stuff, because I got 76 still. And then I've got some infighting and Tolkien and basic bits.
Okay.
Do you have other things, my fine gentleman?
I do not.
I will say, I'm kind of sad I've made my notes so much smaller because they were three times bigger or so. But now that I see how long these episodes are going with even only a few pages per year. And again, I'm giving you a nice flavor. I'm giving you the highlights. Go read a book.
Yeah.
Not going to read the books and give you everything out of it. That's just, this is more like a review. Otherwise, it'd be plagiarism. Right, but if you're sure you're good,
I'm good.
I am also good. So write us, review us, rate us, tell us you want to play a game of D&D with us through Zoom or one person if you want to meet us at a pub and buy us beer.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I am 1975. I don't know. I'm James.
I'm Jody.
And we'll talk to you all later.
Bye.
The Macabre Manor is brought to you by the Twin Terrors. All rights reserved. Stay tuned for some fun outtakes.
I am Matt. You are not. I know you are not because you are not speaking to me. Or replying to me or something, whatever it is you're not doing. Fine. I will eat my other little snack here.
Godzilla?
Godzilla.
Somebody just walked in going, roar, because she heard me. You're so adorable. That's the funniest thing you've done in 2 weeks.
You.
That
Not hardly.
So, So when people sneeze, when
Do
people
what?
sneeze, I say Godzilla because it's non-denominational.
Chidri.